Hi, Dan.
Hi, Jason.
We are back, or at least I am back. You are not back.
I am not back. I'm gone. Gone, baby, gone.
All right. Are you talking to me from your iPhone?
I am. I'm standing on a hill looking at a lake.
Boof. Wow.
Yeah.
Hey, did the lake get better service than the last time you stayed there? Is that what happened?
Yeah. You know, there is a I noticed while I was driving up that there is a tower on the hillside. And the service has gotten steadily better here for a few years. But it's only, I think it's only AT&T. Because my relatives who have Verizon are still complaining they can't get a signal. And my girlfriend is T-Mobile and she was getting like nothing.
Yeah, at the the solar eclipse, I heard, because on Sunday night we camped at this alfalfa field in Idaho for the solar eclipse on Monday. And I heard people complaining about cell service. And I realized that I had two bars of LTE in the middle of nowhere, Idaho. Mm-hmm. And that was pretty awesome. Although we went over our bandwidth cap, which meant that we were speed rated down to 128K.
Oh, sure.
So
right.
I had great reception and couldn't really do anything with it, which is too bad. But you know.
Yeah, well, I filed my mackerel column from here yesterday and I tethered my laptop up to my phone and that worked perfectly fine. I had no trouble.
Yeah, I had to wait to send my audio files to Stephen Hackett for liftoff. I had to wait until we were in Winnemucca, Nevada at the Model T Casino and Quality Inn
where
there was Wi-Fi so that I could send it there. But
that's why it's a Quality Inn.
Wi-Fi is nice. Like I wrote about this a little bit on Six Colors, but like we stayed at two rental condos that were in Squaw Valley and in Park City. Which are basically ski condos that we were using in the summertime. Mm-hmm. It's nice. Up in the mountains in the summer is very nice, too, even when there's no skiing. And one of them had like a DSL. They both said, we have Wi-Fi. Well, one of them had a DSL router with Wi-Fi, and it died every 30 minutes, and you had to unplug it and replug it. And DSL is incredibly slow. And the other one had Comcast, but their Wi-Fi was also like, it would just go off sometimes and then come back. And that was really annoying, too. And then the hotel we stayed at, which was a Marriott in Salt Lake City, that was fast Wi-Fi. That was good stuff. You know, hotel Wi-Fi rarely gets complimented
because
it's not as good as your home Wi-Fi necessarily. But boy, when you get good hotel Wi-Fi after being in a place with no Wi-Fi, it's pretty sweet. Pretty sweet.
My experience is it's gotten better. I mean, and I've stayed mainly at Airbnbs and other people's houses for the last few weeks as I've been traveling. And those have been pretty good. I've done podcasts. Podcasts in like 3 states probably in like the last 2 weeks.
And to be fair, when you're up in the mountains at a place that's a ski resort in the winter, you know, their connectivity issues are not great. The truth is their cellular is spectacular because people want to have their cell phones when they're skiing and when they're on the chairlifts and whatever else. But the landline stuff was awful. So
I used to feel like the ski resorts are places with people go who have more money and thus more interest in keeping their service connected. Whereas there are probably other places, like I was camping, you know, out in Pennsylvania the other night and, you know, northern Pennsylvania near the New York border, and there was nothing.
I think what it is if you're a ski, resort, everybody there is visiting. And so you're worried about getting good cell coverage because they're just going to use their cell phones. And in the condos, people don't live there, right? Those are just rentals.
Right.
And
sure. They
don't care about the internet there, but they put in something so they can say Wi-Fi, but it's terrible. And I have memory of that in other places too. But it's funny because, you know, you rely on the internet. And for me, I wanted to make sure that we went to places that had Wi-Fi, but Wi-Fi does not tell the story, I guess is what I'm saying. Because it could be terrible Wi-Fi connected to nothing.
Well, yeah. So amusingly enough, as I was trying to do a podcast the other day, I noticed from my cousin's house up in upstate New York, I was trying to do a podcast and the latency was terrible.
Mm.
And so I was like, this is really weird. So I ran a speed test. I got about 1.7 megabits down. And I was like, this is what? Because he has a cable modem. There's no reason it should be that slow. And so he, you know, my cousin, who is a bit of a techie, but he's like, you know, I wasn't really paying attention when this guy set this up. So I'm like taking a look at it. And I found a number of things, including, so he's like, well, yeah, you know, they gave me their standard cable modem / router. And he has an Airport Extreme hooked up to that. And so, of course, what I discovered was not only was it using, of course, the router from the cable modem, which is generally pretty crappy.
Yep.
But the cable modem, which was about a foot away from the Airport Extreme, still had its Wi-Fi networks enabled.
Sure.
So that's going to cause interference.
Yep.
So I basically turned those off. I changed everything so it was routing, passing through the cable modem. The Airport Extreme was doing all the heavy lifting. Ran another speed test. 70 megabits down. Yeah, so that's a little bit of a difference.
That's bad news. Yeah, I have that going on right now, and I'm not quite sure what's causing it, but I right now my Ethernet file transfers in my local network here are slower than they were before, and I suspect that it's a bad... Well, there's a longer story here, right, about me setting up a replacement for my Mac Mini that's Hackintosh. I think it's not using, even though it's a gigabit Ethernet adapter or gigabit Ethernet plug on the back of it, I suspect that it's not really acting at gigabit speed. So I'm going to try to put an adapter on it, a USB-C gigabit Ethernet adapter on it, and see if that makes a difference. But it could also be something weird with my network, because at one point I was actually able to unplug the Ethernet plug that goes to the rest of my network outside of my garage. So then we were off the internet, but we were all just a happy family. And one time I did that, and the speeds like shot up, and I thought, what is going on here? So I don't really know what's going on. And I'm, you know, networks, how do they work? They're really weird and confusing. And I do have a cable modem with all of its routing features turned off. I have a Wi-Fi set. I have an Eero set with all its routing features turned off. And in between them is a router with its Wi-Fi turned off that I just use as a router. And it works great, but you know, every now and then I have a networking weirdness and I think, is this, what's causing this? Is this me? And can I fix this by just turning everything off and back on? Or do I need to do something else? And
this is where I want to start my concierge IT business, where I go around and just set people's networks up for them and make sure they're all set up optimally. And maybe, you know, as a sideline, set up people's podcast recording for them and make sure that's all set up optimally. Because we just feel like, man, if I could just spend 5 minutes at your house, I could fix all your problems.
That'll be $5,000, please.
That'll be $5,000. That's right. I will charge a lucrative fee. Yeah. That's my new business model.
Okay. I like it. I love it. Yeah. Well, it's funny. You travel, and travel is different, and you move out of your out of the norm, and you have to deal with it. And that definitely happened for us, and it happened for you. And that's why there was no secret podcast for a while, other than my sort of whispered secret podcast that I did a couple weeks ago, just saying, don't expect a secret podcast for a while. But
I've been out of town for, as of today, so overall, technically, it's been 3 weeks. However, there was a less than 24-hour stint at home in the middle after I got back from Europe, and I was there basically like overnight, and the next day I drove down south. So I have been home in the last 3 weeks, but most of the last 3 weeks I have not been home. So it's a pretty long stint. I had to bring all my stuff. I noticed you didn't bring a Mac, and I know you talked about that a little bit. I did bring a Mac because I had to record some stuff and realized that I wasn't going to be able to do it well enough on my iPad, and I tried editing some stuff in Ferret, and I realized I'm not really comfortable with this, and if I need to, you know, actually produce something and turn it out, I'm going to want my familiar tools in front of me. So not quite there yet to the all iPad lifestyle, but fortunately a MacBook Air and some podcasting equipment is not a huge problem to bring along with me.
Hmm. Yeah, it's I didn't bring my Mac with me at all. Just didn't do it. It was fine.
I don't know. And you were ending up, did you edit stuff? I know you said you had to get stuff to Steven too, so
I didn't edit anything. I didn't record anything but Liftoff, and I didn't edit anything, which I can do. Although the latest iOS beta, great news, the latest iOS 11 beta, my editing app works again. So,
oh, that's good.
For a while, I couldn't actually edit anything. I actually edited and posted everything ready to go before I left. That I had to do, so I didn't even do any. I spent like 11 days entirely free of podcast work, other than recording a little thing for Steven for Liftoff. So, but I did bring my setup, where I've got a little box that's a Wi-Fi. It's its own Wi-Fi router and battery and card reader, and so basically stick the SD card from the audio recorder in there, connect from the iPad to its Wi-Fi base station, and then do a fast file transfer across.
The useful but really shouldn't be necessary.
Shouldn't be, right.
Dongle.
I should just be able to use the card reader, but that doesn't work. So instead you have to use an app and a third party piece of hardware, and then it works. So, you know, that's good. And so I used that, and that works. And in fact, that worked better than I thought. The apps were more well-behaved than I thought, because what it doesn't let you do, that app doesn't let you transfer it like into shared space on the iPad. Instead, it wants you to open it in something else, and then it transfers it and doesn't open in. And I did open in Dropbox, but the problem there is that I'm not on the internet, right? I'm on their fake internet Wi-Fi to the thing. And then I switched to the real Wi-Fi in the hotel and switched back to Dropbox, and it was like, oh, now I'll upload it. So it totally did the right thing, which is the Dropbox app on iOS got the file and said, I know where you want to put this, but I can't put it there right now. And it just waited. And then the internet came back and up it went. So it actually was much more well behaved than I thought it would be.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and again, as we've said before, with the, you know, podcast editing is kind of a thing that most people don't need to do. So, you know, for us, that ends up being more of a thing sometimes. But for most people, probably fine with an iPad. I've been enjoying using my iPad with iOS 11 still.
Oh, yeah.
I think I'm on the latest beta. I think so. It's been a while since I...
Well, I didn't know there was a new beta until we got to Winnemucca and suddenly it was like, oh, there's a new beta. I'm like, great, we got Wi-Fi here. Let's do it. Let's make it happen.
Yeah, sure. Why not? There's nothing to lose at that point. Really? Come on.
Yeah, it was last night.
I'm still not on my phone, but I'm waiting on that. Soon. I'll update my phone to iOS 11 probably, but it's handy to have a reference.
Yeah. Yeah, I need to do that because I'm going to need to write about iOS 11, and I have no experience with iOS 11 on a phone right now because I've been hesitant, but I think it's almost time. I was actually thinking I have an unused phone here. Maybe I'll put it on there first just to see.
I feel like I just got to take that dive because if you're not carrying it every day, it's just not the same.
Yeah, I think more realistically what I need to do is update my iPhone to iOS 11 and then have an older phone available as an emergency backup in case something terrible happens.
Well, I will say my experience I was in Finland for a week and I did my usual trick. So my girlfriend has T-Mobile, which has international data, and usually it's pretty fine, although it's fairly slow because I think it's only maximum 3G or something like that. But I did my usual, I'm just going to buy a SIM locally. And I had like read up a bit beforehand and I thought I knew exactly. I was like, I want this one SIM that has like unlimited data. But it's always kind of fuzzy when you're doing research and you're out of the country until you actually get there. And so I thought I knew what I wanted. And I walked in and I was like, do you have this thing? And they're like, oh, yeah, no, we don't have that. Which has happened to me every single time that I've tried to buy a specific thing that I researched beforehand. But they're like, but we do have this. It doesn't need to be that provider. We've got this provider. This is... It costs you €4. It comes with like credit for that, you know, basically will last you a week, unlimited everything. And I was like, this sounds way too good to be true. Sure enough, €4 got me through. A €4 SIM got me unlimited, at least better than 3G data, I feel like, or at least very fast 3G data all week, no problem. And was Finland, which also has a fair amount of Wi-Fi, I felt like the cellular network was super great and useful to have everywhere because you didn't have to worry when you started walking. You're like, oh, maybe I'm just behind between Wi-Fi hotspots. You still had data to like get you from point A to point B. Also, their public transit system is awesome.
Yes,
so that was a good experience.
On that. Yeah.
Yes, I saw you showed me some pictures. I went to similar places as I saw in some of your pictures.
Yes, there's a statue to J.V. Snellman.
I did not. You know what? I kept getting close to it, but the metro stop the tram stop I kept getting on was just like a little bit shy of it.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh, I know the statue is right around that corner.
It's just it's around the corner from the Senate Square or whatever.
I was on the Snellman Street.
Yes.
So.
J.V. Snellman. I know nothing about him other than that there is enough for there to have a statue, and
it's an important guy, I guess.
Johann Wilhelm Snellman,
that's
influential.
A good name.
Philosopher and Finnish statesman. There you go.
All right. We learned something new today.
Yep. Good to know. Some Finland for you there, subscribers.
well, it's still August, although it sounds like, you know, September is just around the corner, and with it, many exciting announcements, presumably.
Yes.
I saw that we've added possibly Apple Watch and Apple TV refreshes into the mix.
Looks like.
September, which is exciting. That's a lot of stuff.
Dan, I'm pricing HDR TVs now because
I can't. I saw you mentioning that, and I can't do it because I just don't have space in my house. And I just bought this TV like less than 3 years ago.
Yeah,
and
at least
it's perfectly good.
At least I have a 4K TV, but I don't have an HDR TV, and I kind of want to be able to write about this. And it's one of those things where it's like, oh, how terrible it is for your job that you have to buy a new TV. But it's like, but also I have to buy a new TV if I want to write about this. And that's like. otherwise I have to fake it, or I just can't write about it. So I'm torn. Also, the thing that really I'm torn about is if I'm going to get a new TV, I kind of want to have a big TV, like right. much bigger than the one that I've got now. Like I've got a 50-inch TV right now, and I've decided that maybe the best thing would be to get like a 65 or something like that and put it on the wall. But those are even more expensive. So
sure,
I
right.
don't know. I don't know what I'm going to do.
40 to 55, and that felt like a pretty big jump. But you definitely look at that. You know, I thought 55 was going to be enormous and way too big. And you look at it, you're like, meh, could have gotten a little bigger.
Yeah, well, and my, you know, the couches in our living room are further away from the TV than I think the one is in your living room.
Yes,
and our TV
certainly.
Right now is a 50, so it's a little bit smaller. And I keep looking at the wall and thinking, you know, that's the right thing to do is just to get a big TV and put it on the wall. But that I don't think I'm willing to make that investment right now. So I'm not quite sure what I'm going to do about that. I can fake it with a 4K TV that I've got, but yeah, I don't know.
And I'm hesitant. You know, I certainly would be hesitant despite the fact that I'm, you know, I would consider buying a new Apple TV, but if it's just 4K and HDR, obviously if I don't have a 4K and HDR TV, I'm not going to bother.
Sure.
And more of a point, I feel like a lot of what I would be judging on would be, you know, I'd be able to look at the picture quality and say, yeah, the picture quality is good or the picture quality is bad. After which it's like, well, it doesn't even really matter anymore.
Yeah,
like,
no,
once you've made that determination.
There's truth in that. Also, since my TV is a 4K TV, although not an HDR TV,
sure.
because it is a 4K TV, but it's 50 inches and it's much further away from where I sit than like where you sit. The truth of it is, I try to watch like Netflix and Amazon stuff in 4K just because I can, and I figure it's got a higher bit rate and it's more efficient codec and it's going to look better. But if you told me to pick whether I was watching in 1080 or 2160, I don't think I could tell the difference. I don't think I could.
Yeah. Well, mainly for me, I'm holding the reason I'm most interested in it is I gave my parents my old second generation Apple TV, and they do have a 4K TV, though not, I believe, an HDR model. And so I kind of am interested in replacing that for them, especially with Amazon coming back to the Apple TV. So I can actually be like, here, you have one box. Everything you need is on this box, and it's 4K, and your TV's 4K. Go forth. And don't worry about anything anymore. So that's mainly, I think maybe I'll make them my test bed if I need to get a new Apple TV. But then again, if there is other new stuff at all that goes along with that, maybe I'll be interested. But it kind of doesn't seem like it right now.
Yeah. It's a funny thing. I'm interested to see, again, I kind of feel like HDR might actually be better than 4K in the sense that then you get more dynamic range, you know, brighter brights and blacker blacks, and that could be something that makes it feel like a better picture in a way that maybe 4K doesn't as much, unless you've got a huge TV. That's the other thing. 4K is like, that's why I keep thinking, like, I should really get, like, a 65-inch TV or something, because 4K resolution, that's where you see it. Of course, then everything else looks terrible, and I don't know. We'll see where it goes. We'll see if the other Apple TV models go down in price. I think that's
right.
Needs to be part of this story, is not that they bring in a new Apple TV that costs $250, but more like they need to bring in this Apple TV at $150 and then make the non-4K ones $99 or something like that. They need to really, because Amazon and Roku are eating their lunch. They're just killing them.
Yep.
because Apple TV is not appreciably better. Arguably not better, but let's just for argument's sake, we could say not particularly better or worse than Roku.
Most people are going to get the same experience out of both of them. You might get some niceties like AirPlay or what have you, but
that's where we are really right now, is the Apple TV is priced at a premium because it's the only place that you can look at iTunes stuff and because it does AirPlay. It's like,
right.
Okay, fair enough. But if you're Apple and you want to sell a lot of those things, you're just not, because your competitors are doing a great job and are way, way, way cheaper than you. Not a little bit. Like, Apple's stuff can always be a little more expensive than the competition, but it's like twice.
Yeah. And for me, you know, so much of that price goes into the Siri remote, which is fine. There are some nice things about that remote. But fundamentally, if that's driving up your price and causing you to pay twice as much, it's not worth it. Like, maybe that's a nice add-on. Maybe you want to sell that on the side and give that as an option for people who want to buy up to, like, the next level. Like, hey, you buy an Apple TV, comes with a really basic remote. You want to get the extra remote, you bundle that in, you pay a little bit more. That's fine. But, you know, Siri's great. I don't think the rest of the remote is really worth the premium that's been put on it. And I'd like to see a lower price model where they sort of like save some money by cutting that out of the like base package.
Hmm. Yeah.
That's my thinking. Because yep. I haven't been impressed with it. I don't use it for the most part. And when I do, there's like two things about it that I really like. And then the rest of the time, I just get really frustrated. So, yeah. I kind of feel like the same way about the whole rumor of Apple Watch with LTE. It's like, I'm not sure that's a feature I need. So, I'll let other people try it out and see if it actually seems like it fixes any problems. But my problems are generally not about where can I get connectivity on my Apple Watch.
Yeah. We'll see. Yeah, the Apple Watch, cellular Apple Watch story, it's for, like, I feel like it's for runners. It's the idea that it's always connected, right? That if you run away from your phone, that it will still be connected. And but the OS needs to improve too. And there's a lot going on there. It could be a packed event if they ever announce that they're having it.
Yep. Well, we're still a few weeks out from this rumored, I think the 12th.
Well, have you seen
the most recent rumor date?
Has that been rumored? Because I have been traveling and I missed that. But like, if it was following pattern, it would actually be the 6th. Because they've done it last 2 years have done it.
That'd be like 10
Wednesday
days
after Labor Day. Yeah, right. I would be happy if it was later.
I thought I saw the 12th, so we'll see if that ends up materializing.
I wonder if that's just somebody guessing or whether there's actual... Oh, there's a TechCrunch story that I just found that said Apple could announce this next iPhone on September 12th. They could announce it on any other date, too. They
could
really
announce it
could.
Tomorrow.
They could announce it on Labor Day. But this this comes from a report from Mac Forever French.
Yes, they've been around for a little while. I see them sometimes pop up. Whether that's true or not, I don't know what their record's like.
I don't know. That's
très bien.
Yeah, we'll see. That's like one report. So maybe.
That's the only thing we got right now.
Maybe. I like how these headlines are all different. Apple will hold its keynote on September 12th, according to sources. Well, that's not bad, but it's not their sources. It's Mac Forever sources again. So it's one source, carrier sources, that Apple's going to announce it on the 12th. Possibly.
Mm.
Could be.
Could happen.
That'd be fine with me if it was a little later. Just fine.
I'm looking forward to it, but I don't need it to happen next week. Nope. I need a vacation when I get back from my vacation.
Yeah, I got some time. I need some time to write more stuff about iOS 11 and stuff too. So
that's right.
All right. Anything else?
No, not too much. Yeah. Just enjoying the last vestiges.
Yeah.
Of my time off.
Yeah. Enjoy your last bit of vacation in the lake.
That's my plan. Good. And I'm ready to dive back in.
All right. We will talk again next week. When we'll both be back home. But thanks to everybody out there for subscribing to Six Colors and listening to the Secret Subscriber Podcast. We appreciate you helping us keep the lights on here. And until next time, bye, Dan.
Bye, Jason.